And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6:01. That means it's time, once again, for Off the Wall. You are listening to Off the Wall here on WUSB. It's Emmanuel over here, Kyle over there.
What's up?
Well, what's up? Well, you know, folks, this is what we're talking about. All right. If we get preempted so many weeks in a row, the whole world falls apart. Okay. So now you have a virus out of control. You have the economy tanking. You've got all kinds of political craziness happening. Yeah, that's what happens. So we're back. We're only back 45 minutes, though, because it's a basketball game coming on at 6:45. So we have to talk quickly. And also, we want to open up our phone lines nice and early because we know there are people out there who might have questions about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and the effects locally, the effects internationally. If you have questions, we can't say we're experts, but we can lend an ear and at least give you a voice. The phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-9872. We can share stories as to what's going on out there, what you've noticed, what you're observing, what you're thinking. I have to say, you know, walking around this area for the last few days, not too much, not getting in close contact with too many people, I have to say people are calm. I'm not seeing any riots in stores. Things seem to be available. We bought a whole lot of soap, so not so much that somebody else wasn't able to get it, but you know the big package of bar soap that happened to be there. No problems, right, Kyle?
No, we were out, so we needed it anyway.
Yeah, we ran out.
So happened that cleaning supplies are super popular all of a sudden.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there are some good things that can come out of a crisis like this. People keeping things cleaner. I'm seeing videos of subways being cleaned on a daily basis. Who knew that they weren't doing that already? So, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. That's the extent of the goodness.
I believe just with air travel, too. I mean, planes were never... I worked in the ramp... services, so that's like all the people that work on the planes, and they turn planes around like 20 minutes, so mm-hmm. they're definitely not disinfecting planes.
No.
And now people aren't even riding on them, but I think the calmness mostly comes from people just looking for leadership so they can get on with their lives, and without really good ideas, I mean, they're taking in as much as they can, but without that, they kind of have to just go back to normal life, but I think there's a risk of complacency. I think that's that sort of undercurrent, and just hearing the latest from what you ran through is sort of amazing, considering a couple months ago. I mean, it was as serious when we were traveling up in Canada, but it seems like that seriousness has sort of taken hold as the cases have increased.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when we were in Canada, and that was in January, late January, we were watching the story in China. It was exclusively in China at that point. And in Wuhan, we were watching what the death toll was, and I noticed when it hit 100, and it was creeping up to 100. Now, think about that. The end of January, 100, it's over 4,000 now. So that's something definitely to be concerned about.
You know what else I've been hearing that's sort of along that vein is there's been a lot of dismissiveness, and I think that's exactly right. People don't really seem to remember the compounding effects of the math with these kinds of things, how exponentially community spread and those contacts. I mean, that makes it a really serious number. The other numbers that have been kind of that have been used in odd ways and that I think shouldn't be overlooked are the percentages, the mortality rates and stuff. People are arguing over 1% versus 3%.
Yeah, let's not forget. Stupid. That is a stupid argument.
Yeah, let's not forget that and comparing it to normal flu and saying, well, this isn't a big deal. No, normal flu, the mortality rate's like in the tenths, you know, in decimals. This is 20 times more if we're talking 1%. So, I mean, there is some seriousness behind that, the numbers. So it's like, yeah, there's certain caution you should take, but there's also a lot of discrediting that I think is really reckless.
Yeah, there is. And you cannot dismiss something like this. You cannot simply say, oh, it's not going to affect me, because it will. Look around you. Look at what the precautions are that are being taken. And on that note, we do have to point out that a number of schools or a number of universities in the area are already closing down as far as in-person classes. Hofstra, St. John's, Fordham, NYU, Columbia, Nassau Community College. Stony Brook, not yet, but I imagine that's only a matter of time. We do have this this press release that was just released by the Fine Arts Center. It's entitled, "With an Abundance of Caution, Events at Stoller Canceled Through March 30th. So, in response to concerns over the 2019 novel coronavirus, we wanted to communicate to you about our upcoming performances. Stony Brook University and the Stoller Center for the Arts continue to closely monitor the guidance provided by the CDC and the New York State Department of Health, and has determined that out of an abundance of caution, at this time, all events planned for the month of March are canceled. I repeat, all events planned for this month at the Stony Brook Fine Arts Center, Stoller Center, are canceled." Now, this line is also in here. It says, "Stony Brook University has decided that all public gatherings on the Stony Brook campus for the month of March will not occur." Now, I'm told that is not entirely accurate because, as I mentioned, we have a basketball game that's going to be starting in just about a half hour or so, or maybe 45 minutes. And that, as far as I know, is not canceled. So this might be a premature statement. It might be an inaccurate statement, but it is part of that press release that was put out under an hour and a half ago. And the speculation is that it's only a matter of time before something like that is said officially. But for now, it is not official. For now, events are going on. I should say, if you're going to the basketball game tonight, they are not selling tickets at the door. So that's another precaution that is being taken. So if you already have tickets, okay, and you want to come to Stony Brook to see the game, observe precautions and do what you feel is safe. But we're broadcasting the game, so I think that's a better alternative, is to stay at home and listen to the game.
And absolutely check for updates and other information regarding those logistics. And if anything changes, I'm sure those avenues will be the first to tell you.
I gotta say, walking around campus, nobody's panicking. Nobody even looks that concerned. A couple people wearing masks, which, you know, I gotta tell you, wearing a mask does nothing for you if you're looking to avoid catching something. It doesn't give you any more protection. Now, if you're already sick, yeah, okay, it can help prevent you from getting other people sick. So if you see somebody with a mask, maybe that's what's going on. They're either wearing it for the wrong reasons or they are, in fact, sick. If you are sick, though, you really shouldn't be walking around with other people. Let's show some consideration. Harvard University is moving to virtual classes because of the coronavirus outbreak. But get this, university is asking students to move out of their dorms in 5 days. Yeah, Harvard College students have been asked to move out of their houses and first-year dorms by Sunday, March 15th, in an effort to de-densify our community, they say. So that's just an example of how some universities are dealing with it. Also, Ivy League has canceled basketball tournaments because of coronavirus concerns. Today, they canceled their men's and women's basketball tournaments. The 14 tournaments were scheduled to be played Friday through Sunday in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, it's interesting, there's all this reaction in Massachusetts, but the real epicenter right now is in New York. It's in Westchester, in New Rochelle, to be precise. In fact, only an hour or so ago, Governor Cuomo sent out the National Guard to monitor the situation there. New York cases up to 173, of course. As you may have heard, we aren't doing very much in the way of testing. So that number is notoriously inaccurate if you compare it to countries like South Korea and Italy, where they have been testing a lot of people. The more people you test, the more results you get, and the more positive results you will see. And positive in this case is not a good thing.
I read that 108 of those are in New Rochelle alone.
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically linked to one person who had contact with other people. That is how these things spread. Now, people are doing a great job so far of not panicking, of taking precautions, and not turning into savages at the same time. We need to continue doing that because it's very easy for things to fall apart. Look at the stock market. Look at what is happening in the financial markets. Look at how people are completely panicking and just losing their cool. We will feel the effects of that for a long, long time. That is secondary, of course. I couldn't care less about the markets. I care about the health of the people around me and of the health of the people in the world. And that is what we should be focusing on. We need to be discussing what we are going to do when a vaccine is found. Already in South Korea, they're saying nobody will have to pay for this. No company will be bankrupted because of this virus. We will take care of you. No such statement coming from the authorities here. Maybe we need to put pressure on. And fortunately, there is a campaign going on. In fact, tonight is the second part of, I guess, a lot of primaries that are taking place, including your state, Kyle.
Yeah, Washington's voting.
And you voted already.
I did vote.
Wow. Through the mail. In fact, I think most people vote through the mail now.
They only vote through the mail now.
Then what's the point of even having a primary?
They've done away with polling places in Washington.
So what are people... nobody's showing up then anywhere.
It's all vote by mail, or you can use these, like, drop boxes that are similar to, like, a mailbox, but it's, or like a public library or eyeglasses drop. It's one of those kind of things, but it's a big ballot drop-off point. They have them everywhere.
By the way, our phone number is 631-632-9872. If you have concerns, questions about coronavirus or just observations, feel free to call. Our phone lines are open again. We're only on for another half hour, abbreviated show, back to regular schedule next week. What do you make of the political developments? When we were last on the air, Bernie Sanders was running away with the race. And then South Carolina happened. My perspective on this, you know, I, the whole political system in this country, I cannot wrap my head around. But you have a state, South Carolina, where literally not one vote is going to count in November. Why? Because that state is going to go for Trump. We all know this. Yet, South Carolina has pretty much decided for the rest of us who the nominee will be for the Democratic Party. It's such a crazy system. Because he won by such a large margin in South Carolina, other states followed suit. People said, oh, well, he won by that amount there. I guess I've got to vote for Biden, too. And that is pretty much what dictated how people voted. We don't have a system in this country where everybody votes at the same time in primaries. By the time it gets to New York, it's already decided. And I'm in New York. I'm a New York native, have been all my life. I can't even vote in the primary because I'm not registered in a particular party. I'm independent. I happen to feel we all should be independent. But I won't get to say anything until November. And by that time, I have no say in any of those people that were standing on podiums engaging in debates. I've got, my opinion means nothing. I mean, what kind of system is that? And then on top of that, you've got the Electoral College nonsense. which just makes the popular vote meaningless. I don't know. I you gotta sit back and just kind of watch the whole thing play out like it's some absurd comedy.
Yeah, the delegate system, it's akin to, as you mentioned, like caucus and that whole routine of voting in certain states. But I think, you know, that's something that if you're a new voter, it might be hard to deal with, but you get kind of used to it, I guess, after a couple elections. So, yeah, when you say it that way, it's definitely, it's not fair. It's not really, it doesn't feel like you may get your first choice all the time, but I don't know.
I'm not twisting it or distorting it. I'm stating it as it is. That is the fact.
Yeah.
My vote means nothing. Nobody asked my opinion until November, and other states are simply following what one state did. Okay, so fine. We got Biden now instead of Sanders. I can live with that. I can, you know, if Bernie Sanders loses Michigan, I would say he's probably out. He's probably done. The question is, will he and will his followers, of which I consider myself to be one, be able to handle that? And will they be able to support the other nominee? Now, me, I am very dismayed that this is what people chose. But I have to recognize it's what people chose. It's not some big conspiracy. It's not some big machine. I mean, yeah, there's a big machine that manipulates all of us, but we had the power to get past that. People could have shown up and voted for Bernie. They didn't. Not enough young people showed up. And when I'm looking at the people who support him, I was kind of surprised by this. First of all, I wasn't surprised African-Americans, as a rule, do not support him. Fine. Educated white people don't support him. But uneducated white people do. I mean, these are horrible generalities because, frankly, I think it's insulting to say black people vote one way. And why is it never educated black people? And it's always educated white people, non-educated white people, and black people. That's what they always say in these polls. And it's ridiculous. And people do not vote the same way based on their ethnicity, their race, their religion. There are trends, but for the most part, people vote as individuals, or at least I'd like to think that's the case.
Yeah, and I think that what you said about independents, the one tricky thing about independents is that I don't know that it's a true third party, right? If it was like a third party that had like the Libertarians or the Greens or something like that, but I think given that like the two of the three, like independent, Democrat, Republican, you have two that are very, very much a binary, and that's what it ends up being. Like, you're not going to get, if the party, Democratic Party, goes one way or the Republican Party goes another way, there's no real room for someone to come in. And I mean, you're not going to get a Democrat that didn't get the nomination that's going to somehow win. And that's what I think a lot of the Bernie supporters are facing. And to answer your question, yeah, well, how will you go, or what will people do? And I think it's just about, it's not even about the nose holding or anything like that. I think it's just like, well, if one person is in play, they'll get my vote. And, you know, whomever's left, or if that didn't work out for them, then I'll lend my vote the other, you know, to whomever else is in their stead.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, there are only two parties. I'm not sure who the independent party you were referring to before.
Well, I just don't think it's, I mean, it's great to say you're independent and you don't get an opportunity to vote.
I'm not part of the independence party. I'm independent.
No,
and
I know.
I'm not part of any
party. But that's
party.
Not a party.
I know that. I don't want to be part of a party.
Right, but in the to make a distinction, like, there's no platform for independent voters. Like, they do not get to vote in a party delegation because they don't have a party by definition. So I just, if it was like the Greens not getting a chance, or it was like Libertarians not really feeling like their party had a fair shake, even though they got, you know, some percentage, that I think is wholly another thing than choosing to be independent and being upset that, you know, you somehow don't get to count on the same platform as the binary
Put my concerns aside. Even if I was part of a party, I still don't get a voice. I don't even know when the New York primary is, but I can tell you this, by the time it gets here, it's going to be irrelevant. The decision will already have been made. Why can't they all vote on the same day? I mean, I know it's hard to count numbers, especially in this country, but let's give it a shot. You know, let's have all the damn primaries and caucuses on the same day, and then the next day we wake up and decide what to do at that point. In any event, Sanders said, he went on the record as saying that he believes that whoever has the most delegates by the time of the convention should be the nominee. Now, let's see if he holds true to that, if he's still in the race by the time the convention comes around and they do the addition and Biden has more, will he back out then? I think he should if that is the case, and he already committed to doing that.
And not only that, he's pledged that he would support Joe Biden if he became the nominee, which is bigger than I think a lot of candidates.
That's great. That's one vote. But will his other supporter, all the supporters behind him, and you know, okay, here's a story today from Detroit. Protests at a raucous Joe Biden rally last night grew unruly at times, including one prolonged scuffle that knocked a senior Biden aide to the floor of a high school gymnasium. Yeah, in the middle of coronavirus, people, think, for God's sake. For Biden, it was a star-spangled night with a roaring, energized crowd after two major rivals, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, formally threw their backing behind the former vice president. But at 2 points, shouts and demonstrations within the crowd interrupted Biden's remarks. It was a scuffle between Bernie supporters and Biden supporters. And folks, you're being idiots here, okay? Yeah, I get it. There is rivalry, but if you make this, if you bring this to the point where you're at each other's throats, people are not going to back down and are not going to support the one person. And it is only going to be one person who can defeat Donald Trump in November. All right, and we all will have done it to ourselves yet again. How stupid can we possibly be? Now, on Biden's front, obviously, he needs to reach out to progressives. He needs to do something that basically puts them a little bit at ease. They're not going to be happy, and I understand that. After all this, to wind up with a moderate, with someone like Biden, with all these other moderates supporting him, that's bad enough. To not have progressives acknowledged or given something for all their efforts and all the people they have brought out to the polls, that would be an insult, and it would probably be a fatal insult. It would probably be something that the Democratic Party could not get past. Now, after November, and a Democratic candidate is elected, that's when the conversation really begins as to what direction that party goes in. And maybe the party has to split. Maybe progressive and moderate. Maybe those are two different parties right there, and there is no more Democratic Party. But the problem with that is that there's an awful lot of Republicans that would outnumber one of those parties. We need to develop. We need to evolve. And that's what we seem to have trouble with, is getting to that point. You know, we want everything right now. I remember when Obama was president, all the progressives I knew were upset that he didn't do everything at once, even though it was physically impossible for him to do this. Didn't support health care because it wasn't single payer. And yeah, Congress would never let that go through. You know, you have to think a couple of steps ahead. And we can't get everything we want right now. You know, even if Bernie were elected, do you think his health care plan would just instantly be put into place? No, it's got to go through Congress, for God's sake. So having Biden in power is not a disaster because he can put more people in positions of power in the cabinet that can start moving us in the right direction, or at least resume moving us in the right direction. Will it be everything we want right away? Of course not. It won't be everything we want right away under Bernie either. But this is our only shot. So let's not screw it up, people. Please. I can't believe I have to say this, but it's, you know, I just see the same thing happening over and over again. And why is Hillary Clinton injecting herself into this now? We don't need this. We don't need to hear from her now. It's just poisoning everything. So, yeah, we're facing all kinds of calamities here. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it to Election Day, but it's going to be an interesting night. It's going to be an interesting next few weeks, and certainly an interesting next few months.
I think that the things you're pointing out about what's being sold and not being able to get through, I mean, that's so true. There are what Bernie's offering, what he's selling voters is still, they are just promises at this stage, and they take a process to become a reality. And I think Biden's platform, whatever it is, it would be held to the same sort of rigors of the different, you know, legislative and all of those processes to play out and then get the Senate on board, of course. But one thing I do think that Bernie said at some of his rallies is he's emphasized the importance of bringing out young and new voters, people that are first-time voters and so on. And I think that's crucial because I think, frankly, a lot of the old, quote, progressive and liberals, I think they have a lot more resentment. And the younger would-be Bernie supporters or would-be progressive or Democrat, whatever label you want to affix to them, that generation that's coming in, I think they have a lot more like practical sense, and they have no memory of all the wrongs and transgressions of whatever Republicans did to, you know, they hear about it maybe, or they just know how much is unjust, or they're raising issues that really hadn't been in the fore, Black Lives Matter, all of these things, women's rights and everything, trans rights, all of these sort of issues that have not been at the fore that are now sort of relevant, school shootings, mass shootings, guns, and so on. All of those things, I think the younger voters have a very sober sense of, but they also are quite serious about pushing for what they want and in taking whatever they can to get to every single level of making those goals happen. Whereas, like you've pointed out so many times, progressives on perhaps a generation or two removed just have this sort of resentment and dissatisfaction with anybody that isn't exactly saying verbatim what they are, and of course also just being so much of a contrast to all of the things they sort of resent about the opposition, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But I think in the end we just need to get past all of this. We need to put the battle off as far as getting everything we want until after we are in a position of power. And right now, we're not. And right now, we are in very great danger of losing in November. And if that happens, I don't think there's recovery. I don't think we can survive another 4 years of this. Look at where we are right now. We're in a situation where the whole situation with this virus is being mishandled, and people are not getting tested. And misinformation is being – I saw Trump today on TV saying that, no, I'm not going to get tested because I don't have any symptoms. And you know, he was exposed, and he's spreading misinformation saying you shouldn't get tested if you don't have any symptoms. A lot of people are asymptomatic. He probably has never heard that word before, but it means that you can spread it to all kinds of people without knowing that you're doing it. And if you've been exposed, you need to get tested. He's saying that that's not necessary. It's wrong. It's wrong. Go to cdc.gov. Read what they say. Read what the scientists are saying. Hey, I just got this story. This actually just happened. Stony Brook University Hospital executives are anxiously waiting for a back-ordered machine that will allow it to start manually testing for the coronavirus. Conducting COVID-19 tests locally will lead to results within a few hours instead of at least 2 days. That's according to Kenneth Kashansky, Senior Vice President of Health Sciences and Dean of the Renaissance – they did it. They named it Renaissance, didn't they? Renaissance School of Medicine at Stony Brook University. Well, we'll get into that some other day.
That's ironic.
We desperately want to start testing ourselves, not themselves. I think it's clear. I'm very concerned we are going to be swamped by people who are worried, and they're going to have to wait 48 or 72 hours for a result. The back-ordered machine is the, if you're looking for one, this is what it is, the Applied Biosystems 7500. It's a type of word I've never said in my life before.
Gas chromatograph mass.
No. Polymerase. No idea how to
what
say
is
that.
It?
Polymerase. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Chain reaction device. Polymerase chain reaction is a technique used to rapidly make copies of a specific DNA or RNA sample. The machine is expected to arrive within 2 weeks. In the meantime, Stony Brook is retraining technicians so we have the staff to handle the load, they say. The manual tests include technicians extracting RNA from a patient sample and then amplifying the viral sequence if present. Preparing the samples can take hours, they say. And for now, Stony Brook is sending its coronavirus test to a lab in Albany. Kashansky said Stony Brook reached out to New Hyde Park-based Northwell Health about handling his test in the short term, but Northwell said it couldn't handle the extra manual tests. They are swamped. Kashansky said when Stony Brook goes online, it will prioritize samples from its health system, but as capacity increases, we will be open to running tests for others. Northwell's lab in recent days began manually processing about 90 potential COVID-19 samples daily. Northwell and Stony Brook executives have both said they hope to get approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for automated testing, which would increase the number of tests they could handle. Kashansky said Stony Brook already has a technology in place to run automated COVID-19 tests. This is what we need. This is what we have to have in place. And these are the people that we need to be listening to. And thank you, Newsday, for taking the paywall off that article so I could read it over the air and let people know about this very important development. The scientists, the hospitals, the doctors, these are the people to listen to. What they say matters. What they know what they're talking about. Politicians can only do so much, and sometimes they can do an awful lot of bad things. One thing our chief politician is doing, though, is, as I mentioned before, is deploying the National Guard to New Rochelle. They're being sent as part of a containment plan to slow the spread of coronavirus in that Westchester city, which has become the center of the state's outbreak, and I would argue that possibly the nation's epicenter, because so many people now have been infected in that area. Number of confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York has increased to 173. Again, the number will go way up when tests are actually performed. But New Rochelle is a particular problem. The numbers are going up unabated, said Cuomo at a news briefing in Albany. It is the largest cluster in the country. Okay, he agrees. Largest cluster in the country. It's a matter of life and death. So far in Suffolk County, we only have one case reported. That's out in Greenport. And it's contained at Stony Brook Southampton Hospital, not the same hospital as here at Stony Brook. Our medical professionals are on top of it. And I look to them for advice, for information, for updates.
Yeah, science has never seemed cooler. Isn't it great we have machines like this?
Yes.
Imagine if we didn't. I mean, we'd still be like, you know, I don't know, having smelling salts or something. I don't know what you use in the 17th century for this stuff. But anyway, I mean, it seems less like quackery, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's not quackery at all. You know, these are, it's the real deal. These are the people we should listen to. We should have been listening to the whole time, and hopefully everybody else can get out of the way and let them do their jobs. This also just in, due to health and safety concerns, in response to the coronavirus and in consultation with the university and Stony Brook Medicine, the March 11th Stony Brook Gala in New York City has been postponed. That's scheduled for tomorrow. A new date will be shared as soon as possible. That's the March 11th Stony Brook Gala in New York City, whatever that is, that is postponed. According to a statement issued by the University Advancement Office, the Stony Brook Foundation and Stony Brook University are committed to protecting the well-being of our community. We appreciate your support and understanding. Please share this news with any guests you've invited, as the event staff may not have their contact information. So please spread the word about these updates and various things. But just assume that large gatherings in the days ahead probably won't be happening or will be very subdued. And make other plans. And it's not so bad, you know. You don't have to be out in crowds. You don't have to be, moving about. And you can work from home. You can keep updated. You can do all the things that you need to do in the comfort of your own house.
Not everyone can work from home.
That's very true. That is very true. But if you can, you're making things a lot safer both for yourself and potentially for others.
Yeah, you remove yourself from the equation as someone who could contract or who could be passing it along or who just maybe in a high-risk area and, you expose yourself to uncertainty, whereas if you have distanced yourself, you're at least certain you haven't had any opportunity to come in contact with a surface or let alone a person who's sick.
One last time, our phone number is 631-632-9872. I know we haven't been on in a few weeks, so maybe our listeners don't know we're here. But we are taking phone calls. If you have any questions or concerns or additional information to share with us, 631-632-9872. We are off the air in 10 minutes. The basketball game will be going forth as scheduled. Again, if you're planning on going, they are not selling tickets at the door. If you have tickets, okay, that's fine. But that is part of the precautions being taken here at Stony Brook. And again, we're broadcasting the game here, and it's probably a lot better for you to just sit back and listen to it on the radio. But then again, I say that about everything we broadcast. How about this? Trump is pitching a 0% payroll tax rate for the rest of the year. Yeah. Okay, you know, as a business owner, that works for me, but they're also talking about making that payroll tax rollback permanent. That's according to a White House official. When asked about the potential cost of the payroll tax cut, the official pushed back and asked why there is always a focus on the cost of tax cuts. Well, gosh, you know, I think I have an answer for that. Because tax cuts mean less money is being used for vital services. And what, do I really have to explain this? What are you doing working here? I mean, for God's sake, why do people ask about the cost of tax cuts? They're upset about that. Oh, boy. So this is the state of the nation. This is what we're in right now. But 2,000-point drop in the stock market yesterday, 2 days last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks before that, of 1,000-plus, all kinds of panic. I was watching CNBC the other morning, and just I saw the thing kick in, whatever that's called.
The circuit breaker.
After it went down 7%, they stopped trading for 15 minutes, and then the next circuit breaker is 15%. And if it goes to 20%, they stop all day. It only went to the first one, but it hasn't done that in a long, long time. And 2,000 points is the biggest drop we've ever seen. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of panic out there on Wall Street. There's a lot of people that are concerned. But we're trying to keep our cool. We're trying to...
Mostly just talking and sharing information.
Well, let's see if we have a caller here who wants to share something. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Turn your radio off.
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay. What's on your mind?
Oh, no, I just think it's unfortunate. We talk about with the with this pandemic, with the coronavirus that's been going on, where, you know, as a country, we spent over $1 billion the last 10 years to detect a biodetection capability, where the focus was on bioterrorism, when it was always known that a pandemic was always likely to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And the nation just decided to expend its resources to militarize a detection system when it was always known or always recommended by public health officials that they need to have a pandemic, the focus needs to be on pandemic research and not acts of bioterrorism, which would have a low probability of ever occurring.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think a lot of anything getting labeled with the T word, you put terror on stuff, it just gets funding. And that's the world we've been living in for like 20 years.
But, you know, not if you listen to the scientists. If you let the politicians do the talking, yeah, terrorism, anti-terrorism things get funded and science gets cut.
Yeah.
If you listen to the scientists, they will say, you can't cut this. It's, you remember the flu from 1919 killed millions and millions? You know, wake up. This is essential, and we're learning that sad fact now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
All right, hopefully we learn from this. Hopefully we get through this. And where are you calling from, if I might ask?
I'm calling from the D.C., Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
Well, we the last 2 hours, they just had 6 confirmed cases.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I've been watching the CDC dashboard. I mean, it jumped like 300 cases in a couple hours or 200 cases this morning. I mean, it's pretty incredible to see the numbers and a lot of the collating of all the info. But hopefully there isn't some sort of bio attack, or at least whatever funding and preparedness they've had for that, maybe some of those things can be applied to a more practical case, as you pointed out, like what we're actually facing.
I agree. They need to get away from this funding the program to support both functions, both national defense and public safety.
Yeah,
I mean, they're related, but in reality, we need to have a early detection to detect early pandemic.
Yeah, it's not just something in the tactical realm. No, I hear you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. We just got this in. The health minister of the United Kingdom has, Nadine Dorries has said she has tested positive for coronavirus. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of statements like that throughout the world. Important thing is to keep you cool. Keep listening to the radio. Keep listening to local media because that is extremely important. And don't get caught up in hype and in fear and in hatred and in panic.
Help is on the way. Yes. But I think the public outcry needs to guide a lot of the sort of so-called leadership that is guiding us. And part of that is the discussion, the conversation, and demanding things of the private sector, you know, when you feel like there's some unfairness. I mean, there's gouging all the way around. So, yeah, when those companies come out with trials and so on, people need to stay on it and share how many people are really going to be at the effect of this so that it's equitable.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for us tonight. otw@2600.com is our email address. Stay tuned for basketball. We will see you again next week. Hang in there. We'll get through this. Good night.